Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. I hope you can hear me. I can't hear myself think because I've got a head cold, but I'm thankful for this opportunity. I would like to bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Kenya and Tanzania. They wanted me to be sure to extend their greetings and their love to you, and you have to wave to them. This is what they do when we say we greet them from you. So we expect you all to wave back. Good. Thank you. It's really kind of comical when they do that, because we say, you know, your brothers and sisters in America, you know, send their greetings, and everybody goes. But it's they do. They do remember us in their prayers and in their thoughts and for the work of the gospel. I had hoped to bring some pictures of my last trip with Brian to Kenya and Tanzania, but as you may have known, our things were stolen out of our hotel room, and I lost my camera and all my film and books and computer and breathing machine. But I've got a couple hundred pictures of my new two grandsons that I brought. No, I'm just kidding. One of them actually is here. We're thankful for the Lord's blessing upon them and their births. I'd like to talk a little bit about our recent trip to Kenya and Tanzania and the Lord's blessing upon the work there. My brother Brian and I were gone for, I guess it ended up being 3 weeks because we came home a week early because we had our money stolen and our airline tickets. But we were really busy this last trip. We had a lot of things to do, our biggest fear was that we were going to run out of money from the bank and laundry, clean laundry, because we didn't have time to think about what we were doing next. But the Lord blessed us, even though we had our things stolen from us. That we felt that the Lord blessed us. No one was hurt in that process, and they were all things that could be replaced. We arrived in Kisi on I believe it was a Saturday, and had a chance to get settled in our house there, and then meet at one of the local congregations of Mississita on Sunday. And Monday we had a committee meeting where it was Brian and I and Michael and Moses, the two elders, and Margaret talked about the affairs of the church there in Kenya, and then planned our time that we were going to spend the next 3 weeks. The following day, we had a leaders meeting from various congregations in which we updated them into our schedule and taught classes. And we ended up having two of those there this time, and they were very fruitful, a lot of questions, a lot of opportunities to teach our beliefs. We also taught a class on how to teach us certain subjects, and gave them printouts of things to bring back and teach in their Sunday school. Brian taught a class on why we need the Book of Mormon and the blessing of the Book of Mormon and its teachings. That was very well received. We had three reunions while we were in Kenya, in the three districts, rather than going out. We knew we didn't have time to go to all the congregations, and we wanted a chance to see everybody, so we had three reunions in the three districts. And our first one was at the Kenini local, where our brother Moses is pastor. And it was a wonderful service, as they all were. There was probably 200 people there. We taught classes and preached, and had several baby blessings. We had a sacrament service, testimony service. There was a calling to a priest, to a brother by the name of Moses Mokwari, who lives in a little village up in the hills, who's going to be a real blessing to the work there. He was one of the first members baptized our first trip when we went, and he's a very quiet man. He kind of stands back and listens. But we have noticed that here in the last couple of times that we were there, that the Lord was blessing him. He was growing in his knowledge of the gospel and would ask questions and answer questions and give examples. And we're looking forward to his ministry there. That call was given through Elder Moses Ahuru and with a witness from Brian McIndoo and from Michael. And it was a spiritual service, and it was a blessing to the people there. You could tell that they witnessed firsthand calling of a servant of God as according to the scriptures, and you know, we had been teaching that, but this is the first time that they had opportunity to experience it themselves. We then went to Tanzania for 6 days. Usually we're there only there a day or so. There was one congregation there, but we went to 5 different villages or cities. Some of them were fairly large cities on Lake Victoria. There's a group in each one of those, we're hopeful that the work will grow there in Tanzania. The outreach there has been to some of the family from the congregation that we already have in Tanzania, so that's how they got to know about the church. We went to Karacho, which is about 2 hours from Kisi, and had a service there, and there's 2 congregations there now. That was also a marvelous service. It was held on a tea plantation. Beautiful country, just absolutely beautiful country. These tea plantations all over them, it's green and lush. On the plantations, the workers live there. They have homes for them and schools. And we met in a community building that they offered to us, which was really looked like a church. And so there were people that came from the community there besides the ones that are members of the church, which we were thankful for. We have 20-some congregations now in Kenya. We went to Mombasa, Kenya. That's one of the places you're reading about in the paper that the terrorists are at now. But yeah. We have a young group that's meeting there. There were several that wanted baptism, we told them we felt that they needed to be taught some more, and maybe the next time. And Michael and Moses, I think, have been there since we were there to teach them. Michael and Moses are traveling while we're gone. They're gone probably 4 or 5 days a week to the different congregations. I think we're in Uganda last week. In another week, they're going to Tanzania. They'll be going to Mombasa. We might remember them in your prayers. They're traveling a lot of miles, in some cases on buses, and otherwise walking, or they do have a vehicle available to them. They're excited. They're excited about the work there, and they're encouraged as they go out to the various villages and towns and the opportunity they have to preach and to teach. And, you know, we've kind of been trying to hold that back a little. I mean, that sounds, you know, unusual, but we're concerned for the congregations that we have, that they would be strong. We're asking the leaders and Michael and Moses and now the other Moses to spend more time in the congregations that we have to teach and to preach, to make sure that they understand and the fullness of the gospel and that they don't listen to the others in the community that tell them different, but that they would be strong and steadfast. Next week, Brother Brian and I are going to Nigeria. It's a contact off the webpage. We've had quite a bit of contact with him, correspondence. It's a man that's an ex-LDS man. He has several other people, several groups there that they want to talk to us. We're told to bring all the literature and the Book of Mormons that we can carry, and we're really looking forward to it. When we first got the message from Nigeria, we were somewhat reluctant, and Brian, having been a police officer, is reluctant. You know, he questions everything when somebody tells us, and he had worked fraud for years, and Nigeria is one of the countries where fraud is the biggest thing, and in fact they have schools there that teach them on how to send letters to American churches to get money. And so we've been very careful, but we're encouraged by the correspondence that we have and the questions that the man has been asking and his interest in the truth. So we're thankful for this work and there in Africa and for throughout the world, and thankful for your prayers and support of it. And it's been a joy, and we bring much encouragement, and it's a glorious time that we live in as we see the gospel spread into the different countries of the world, and I hope that we're ready. And that's my thought this morning. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we living our lives the way that we need to live them according to the scriptures? Are we good stewards? Are we using our resources and our time and our talents to glorify Jesus Christ? I'd like to turn to the 24th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read starting in the 4th verse. And it says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." This is Christ speaking. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." You know, that reading we've read, in fact, there won't be any new readings today. You have read them all. But I hope that you might ponder them in your hearts and your prayers. Here we have an admonition to take heed that we might not be deceived. And it's talking about the end times and the things that will occur. And we see many of those happening in the world today. Not only this gospel going out, but the wars and those things. And men turning against men. And the hatred against those who believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the time that we live. That's the time that God has provided in these the last days that we might know of the situations that will be at hand, but that we might know and hope that in the knowledge that He is in charge, that He has preserved these things and written with them down and within the Holy Scriptures, that we would have them before us. I'd like to turn to Romans in the first chapter in the 16th verse. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's truth. There are many out there that have heard it and are rejecting it, and the Lord's curses will be upon them. But upon those that endure, upon those that are prepared and that are ready to serve him, he says that his arms of mercy will be extended to them, and they will be protected. So we can look forward and hope of these things in the future coming, the future events, and we don't need to be discouraged, but we need to be steadfast and immovable. I'd like to turn to Ephesians in the 4th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We are to walk worthy of the vocation where we are called. We are to walk as an example of Jesus Christ in our life. We're to follow his footsteps. We're to know of the calling and our responsibility as being Christians, as his sons and his daughters, and that we're strong and steadfast, as I said before. Going over to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in the 8th verse, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, the light of the gospel, the truthfulness. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're not to fellowship with the work of darkness, but we are to walk in the light, walk worthily. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, instructions for us here written in these words. Walk as the children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. To walk, or not to walk or fellowship with the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, having no part of them. We're to keep ourselves separate of these things. We're to walk speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melody in our heart. And that's my question today, and an admonition to each of us. You know, are we ready? Are we living this life that is required in order to be able to endure, in order to be a fruitful servant, in order to be a representative of Jesus Christ? Are we walking in that light? Are we focused? Are we prepared? Are we living our life completely in Jesus Christ? Are we ready to serve Him? And that is our challenge. And the world is bombarding us minute by minute with other things to do, other places to go, other places to spend our time and our thoughts and our energies, taking us away from Jesus Christ. But we're to give our life completely to Him. We're to be submissive and humble before Him. We're to be using our time and our resources to glorify His name. Not in the things of the world, not in the times that they take us away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. So we have to each look, we each have the responsibility to look within our own lives and find out where our priorities are. What is it that we live for? What is it that we wake up for? What is it that we go to work for? What is it that we teach our kids? What is it that we hope for? What is it that we plan for the future? What is it that we're using our resources for? What are we working for? What is our cause? Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we good servants? Are we faithful to the things that are written within the Holy Scriptures and the teachings of Jesus Christ? I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians. In the first chapter, verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. be of him, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorified, let him glory in the Lord. Again, instructions telling us the things of the world are for naught. They're foolishness. But even the foolishness of God is more than the wisdom of the world. And where is it that we're putting our trust? In the things of the world or in the things of God? What is it that is allowing us to guide our daily activities? And what is it that we're focused on daily? The things of God or the things of the world and the riches thereof? Where is our time spent? What is our priority? Turning to the 6th chapter of Matthew. In the 19th verse. We all know this scripture. Lay not up yourselves for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's something we have to ponder. Where is our treasure? What is it that we have given value of in the use of our time and our resources? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't be of the world and serve God. We can't be of the lust of the things of the world or the riches thereof and be of God. No love one or the other. He goes on, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet come your nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and ye are you not much better than they? Telling us again and again and again where to put our thoughts. The Lord is in charge of these things. You know, He tells us in other places of the Scriptures. He doesn't say that we aren't supposed to work. He tells us we have to work. We're responsible for our families. And for the family's upkeep, and even the ministry or everybody is responsible, and to be a good steward, you're going to take care of your family. In that way, Christ is glorified in our families. But where is it that we place our priorities besides our needs of food and shelter? You know, what he's talking about here, he doesn't say that we shouldn't have clothes or, don't worry about your raiment. He's not saying that. He said, don't make it an obsession. Don't spend your time thinking about the beautiful dress or the sport coat or, and the things that you just got to have, which are for nothing. And in 2 years, they're going to be out of style anyway. But Christ will continue. Doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to have those things. It means that they shouldn't be our focus, or our God, if you would. But that we put Jesus Christ first. And that these other things become second and in the background rather than in the foreground. In Mark, I'm going to pick one verse out of Mark, but I'm going to go over there and quote it, because when I try to just say it, I'll mess it up. But it's in the first chapter of Mark. In the 16th verse and 17th verse, he said, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, eating and casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Think about that. You know, we've all read that. But, the commandment was, come unto me, follow me, I will use you. If you can give me your, they left their task and came and gave their all to follow Jesus Christ. He made them the fishers of men. He used them and used their talents because they were willing, because they made themselves available, because they listened to the call and they were ready. Are we ready for the call that he might use us? Because he'll mold us and direct us and be able to use us for things that we wouldn't even have any idea that we were able to accomplish by ourselves. But through Jesus Christ, we are able to accomplish. Yeah, I've told this story, and I'm not saying I'm much of a speaker now, but when I was in college, I decided I ought to take a speech class. Somewhere I might need it. And it was a freshman class, and I took it as a second-year senior. because I was afraid to take it. I was nervous and figured I now was 4 or 5 years older than the other kids in the class, and, I had all this wisdom and I could do it. I was scared to death. I was so nervous that the instructor felt sorry for me. I'd give a speech and I'd have a piece of paper and all you could do is paper. And I am not exaggerating, And so he'd have me come up and stand. When the person was speaking before me, I'd stand next to him. First verse. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherefore they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, having fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of this as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have to be prepared to serve the Lord. We have to be prepared for those that will maybe make fun of us. You know, I'm thinking of Lehi's vision and there in the Book of Mormon and Nephi's vision and the Tree of Life and the river that ran along it and the straight and narrow path that led to it and the rod of iron, which is the Word of God that brought us to the Tree of Life. And even those that reached the tree, there were those that went to that big spacious building that was across the river, that was separated from those of the righteous. And there were those that were in them that were dressed in their fancy apparel and the things of the world, and they mocked. And they made fun of those that followed after Christ. And even some of them that had arrived at the tree left and were lost. We have to be prepared for that. We have to know that that's going to happen. But we have to know and understand that what we have is the truth, and it endureth forever. That although there will have trials, although we'll go through tribulations, although we'll go through sufferings, although we'll go through mockings and people will laugh at us, you know, we have the truth, and we have the hope and the resurrection and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that nobody can take from us. That no mocking or laughing or no physical harm or whatever that might be able to beset us, they can't take away our salvation if we're steadfast and immovable and continue. If we continue to believe in the teachings, if we're ready to be quick to stand and to testify and to live our life according to Jesus Christ. So as we find and we read and know of the day and the time that we live in, as we pick up the newspaper and bombarded with the wars and the hatred and the terrorists and the unrighteousness that prevails and the changing of laws and making good bad and bad good and all the things that the Scriptures told us about, we can know of a surety that God's plan is in process, that He knows His people and that He will protect them, that we are to make sure that our focus of our life is to ensure that we're numbered among the righteous, that we're studying the Scriptures, that we know what the truth is. When we pick up an article in the paper and somebody tells us something different, we know that the chapter and verse we can quote of where it teaches it's different. And the Word of God that never changes. See, the world believes in a changeable God. They believe that the rules change, and they don't have that hope, that confident expectation that we have. They don't believe in what's going to happen at the end, or if anything's going to happen. They wouldn't believe that that's it. But we know that the Lord has prepared a place and a plan of salvation for us that we can live eternally with Him. And we have to rise above the things of the world. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to make sure that we have studied and know the truth. That those deceivers that I read about, that they can't deceive us and lead us astray. That the mockers don't have any power over us because we know of the truth. And that's the responsibility that we have, every one of us in this room, no matter what our age is, to make sure that we have given the priorities where they're to be in Jesus Christ. That we haven't let Satan slip into the things of the world. That when we wake up in the morning and when we live our daily lives and when we go to bed at night, our purposes are for Jesus Christ. And to glorify His name. And to tell others that this word, this gospel, this kingdom might be spread throughout our families and our loved ones and in our communities, that there might be those also that have that same hope that we have. I'm going to turn to Romans in the 12th chapter. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that's how we're to live our life, that we're proving what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. That we're transformed in living a new life in Jesus Christ. That we don't do the things that the world telling us to do. That we don't just fall in line and follow everybody else. I don't know if you remember the story. I think I told it the first time or second time I came back from Kenya. But it's a story about how they train their cows, and they tie a rope to them, and they beat the cow, you know, and the cow begins to think that there's always a person with a stick at the end of that rope. And so you see all these cows running around with a rope tied to their horn, you know, and they don't get out of control because they think that guy with the stick is at the end of the rope. Well, Moses uses that as an example. And he says, don't be a rope. Don't let the cows of the world lead you around. Know where you're going and be prepared. You know what our purpose is. Don't let the world drag us to and fro. Don't let it deceive us. Don't let it bring us away from Christ and our teachings and the gospel. Know where we're headed. Know who you are, what you believe, and be prepared, ready, to stand and testify of Jesus Christ. The scriptures to teach us, I didn't read the one of that we're a chosen generation. You know, we are. We live in the time that God has allotted us here on earth. This marvelous time as we see the workings, you know, it's a very same excitement as when Christ came and walked in the fulfillment of the prophecies, or the time of the early restoration and the excitement of the gospel being restored and the fulfillment of the prophecies of that time. We have that same time now, or the same excitement, the same encouragement, the same fulfilling of the prophecies. And that we see before us the workings of God throughout the world, the things falling in place exactly as has been prophesied within the Holy Scriptures. And we know that God has prepared a place. And that He knows His sons and His daughters, His children, those that follow Him, those that have been baptized, those that believe, those that are enduring and are walking in its straight and narrow path, those that are prepared, that are giving heed, that are waiting and looking for His coming, and to know His call and yield and come. So I hope and pray that we'll think about those things today and the upcoming days, that as we ponder in our prayers and in our hearts and in our families and our daily activities, that we look at the things that consume our time, that consume our thoughts, that consume our physical efforts, that consume our financial resources or whatever, our family time together. Look at the things that we're spending our efforts in and make sure that we're not lost in the things of the world, that we're not letting that cow drag us around and just leading us wherever the world is going to go, because we know where that is. You know, that's eternal damnation. But we have the truth in the light of the gospel. We're blessed in these days to have these two records to witness and to testify of Jesus Christ. Two records that fulfill the prophecies that are written within them. Two records that bring us the truth in our to us to prove that the things that are written have an additional witness that we might not be lost, but that we might be steadfast and immovable as spoken of. My prayers are with you, and I ask that you might remember Brian and I as we travel to Nigeria next week.
Thank you, brothers. Brother Brickhouse and Brother McIndoe leave the 24th of June, and Brother Frank Fan and Brother Mike Mee are going to the Philippines July the 8th, which is just another week after that. So very quickly we'll have men in foreign countries where they desperately need your prayers. Please don't forget them. We're going to close this morning with hymn number 81. 81.